Dear faithful, it is a joy to be among you again here at St. Mary's Oratory. I'm very pleased to see that, as I dearly hoped and indeed had no doubt, you are in very good hands here, so I'm very grateful for this invitation from your rector, Canon Luke Signego, to come and preach the opening of the Novena to the Immaculate Conception. As always, I am very edified by your presence here, as I had been over these past 14 years, to see always from the very first time that we began to have this solemn novena here at St. Mary's, the attendance of the faithful has always been very exemplary, and I'm glad to see that that is continuing here. It has been a joy as well for me to see many of you down at Sacred Heart Retreat Center in Burlington. I'm only 3 hours and 15 minutes south of you, and I'm glad to have had some visits already. And indeed, in these last 2 months, we've already held a full cycle of retreats, silent retreats for men and for women, week-long retreats, weekend retreats, also one retreat for priests already, with more on the calendar. And we have had some very good testimonials. I have no doubt you have, even today here in this congregation, several survivors of these first retreats. So please don't hesitate to ask them as well their impressions of these spiritual retreats that we have been holding. I hope that you all have the opportunity to come in the very near future and sign up for a silent retreat. It will be my joy also to greet all of you out in the back hall after the Mass today. Tota pucra es. Thou art all fair, O Mary, and there is not a spot in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We do well, as we have done over this past period of some 14 or 15 years, to begin with a review of the history of this great novena to the Immaculate Conception, a devotion which certainly predates by many centuries our dear little community, the Institute of Christ the King. First of all, I hope we all recall well that the novena itself is of divine institution. For when the moment when our blessed Savior ascended above the highest heavens to take his place at the right hand of the Father, the Church has always had such a 9-day period of prayerful preparation. The origin of this practice is that period from the Ascension to the eve of Pentecost, when we are told that the apostles, united with our Blessed Lady, were in prayer, awaiting the coming of the Holy Ghost. There is one other period as well in the church year when, again very early on, though some centuries later, the church instituted another sort of novena, that is the great O Antiphons, which we will have at the close of this coming season of Advent, beginning on December 17th and going through Christmas Day, if we wish to reckon 9 days. Thus we have, we might say, two devotional schools for the novena. It is possible to make a novena that ends on the actual day of conclusion, and it is possible to make one of preparation which concludes on the eve of a feast. The one ending on the eve of Pentecost is, of course, the original one and the oldest one. But we see that the Church also has this practice of starting with the great O Antiphons on December 17th and ending this period of prayer on the Feast of Christmas itself. But as divine providence would have it, the novena to the Immaculate Conception, although later in date, would begin on the vigil of St. Andrew, the first called amongst the fishers of men, and then conclude on the eve of December 8th. The history of this novena of ours begins with the end of that very dark period in church history, which was the Western Schism. In the year 1417, the Western Schism finally came to an end. That is, finally, after several generations, there was only one clear pope ruling over all of Christendom. This was after this period of chaos, when we had at sometimes two and even three claimants to the papal throne at the same time. This came to an end with the election of Pope Martin V. Pope Martin V began a certain restoration of Christian Rome, and especially ordered the restoration of the ancient Roman Basilica of the Holy Apostles, which had existed since the 4th century but had been destroyed by an earthquake a generation before he came to the throne. After this restoration was complete in 1474, this basilica was entrusted to the care of the conventual Franciscans. Now, by the close of the 15th century, the Franciscans had long had the practice of praying to Our Lady conceived without sin. And it was at this time, then, that the feast of the Conception of Mary on December 8th was extended to the Universal Church. Although it was not the same Mass as the one we celebrate today on December 8th. The Franciscans, who were those first glorious defenders of the privilege of the Immaculate Conception during that period called the Scholastic Age, they were already in the practice of celebrating this feast. And so when they came into possession of the Basilica of the Holy Apostles, they resolved to prepare for the celebration of this feast by a solemn novena. Since the early 18th century, the custom has been for a cardinal or another Roman prelate to come each night of the novena to preach and celebrate solemn benediction. And so that is the practice going on in Rome starting today. Although we do not have any such cardinals or prelates to preach thus this week, no doubt you are very grateful for the preachers who will be coming here each day to proclaim the glories of our Immaculate Queen. But today, I have been invited to speak to you in greater detail about one particular point of our novena, indeed the one which is dearest to all of us, the singing of this hymn, Tota Pulchra Est. Here we share something with all other celebrations of this solemn novena around the world, whether in Gricigliano, other houses of the Institute, or that great first celebration of it at the Basilica of the Holy Apostles in Rome. The hymn Tota Pulchra Est is ultimately of very ancient origin. The prayers themselves date, we might say, to the 4th century, but of course, if we consider their ultimate origin, they date even further back than that. They are of divine inspiration, for most of the prayers of the Tota Pulchra Est come from the Canticle of Canticles, or in the original way, it was prayed also very largely from the book of Judith. Thou art all fair, O Mary, thou art all fair, and there is not a spot in thee. Come, come from Lebanon, thou shalt be crowned, which was often tied in those earliest centuries to the words taken from the book of Judith. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the splendid boast of our people. These words, especially from the book of Judith, can be seen as a certain secondary application to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Their first application is to the woman Judith herself, that great heroine of the Jewish people told about in the book of Judith. But from very early on, she was seen as a type of the heroine of the New Testament, that is, the Blessed Virgin Mary. When it comes to the Canticle of Canticles, however, it is not so clear. Indeed, we might say, as with many passages of the wisdom books of the Old Testament, that in some respect they do apply first and foremost to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They imply in every manner to the mystery of the Incarnation. So yes, to our Lord himself, true God and true man, but also to his most holy and immaculate mother. In fact, we can see that the teachings of the fathers in these early centuries, especially the 4th and 5th centuries, reflect this piety of the people. As we know, the third ecumenical council, the Council of Ephesus in 431, declared that the Blessed Virgin Mary was rightly called by the faithful Theotokos, Mother of God. The faithful did not need to confine themselves to calling her Mother of Christ, as so many of the Protestants do today. No, we can truly and rightly call her Mother of God, because she gave birth to the Savior, true God and true man. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, took flesh in her womb, and so we rightly say that she brought God into this world. And therefore, she has always been called by the faithful by this title of Theotokos, a title which we find the faithful applying to her already in these early centuries. The supreme authority of the Church, then, came to the defense of the faithful and their application of such an illustrious title to Mary. We find, then, as well, that the teachings of the fathers at this time also reflect this piety of the faithful. Already in the very earliest generations, fathers such as St. Justin and St. Irenaeus speak of Mary as the second Eve. This already, in a very primordial way, encapsulates everything that the Church would ever teach regarding the Blessed Virgin Mary. For if Mary is the new Eve, certainly no Christian would dare to deny her any of the graces or privileges that were accorded to the first Eve. And indeed, she must have far greater graces than that first Eve. And so, if the first Eve came into this world without sin, surely all the more did Mary do so. And, as Saint Irenaeus in that time even dares to say, if Eve is called the cause of our ruin because of her disobedience, surely then Mary is rightly called the cause of our salvation. Some generations later, we find the teaching of our hymn Tota Pauper Est clearly reflected in the writings of the fathers. The illustrious St. Ambrose, for instance, who declares that the Blessed Virgin Mary, by grace, was preserved from every stain of sin, clearly reflecting the language of the Canticle of Canticles. And his great disciple, St. Augustine, who declared, for the honor of the Lord, I will have no question of sin where Mary is concerned. Yes, these words, then, of the Old Testament have been rightly applied from the earliest generations to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so the Christian people always, with a very informed and inspired piety, cried out to Our Lady, Thou art all fair, and there is not a spot in thee. Come from Lebanon, and thou shalt be crowned. This truly is the reason why we continue to sing this hymn, which has been set to different melodies over the centuries, because, of course, Our Lady is no longer here on earth. She reigns gloriously now in heaven. And yet, all that she achieved here by her cooperation with the work of salvation, she continues to do in heaven just until the consummation of the world. Truly, O Mary, thou art all fair, and there is not a spot in thee. Come from Lebanon, O cause of our salvation. The God who caused light to shine out of darkness and to creation to come forth from nothingness now calls thee into existence by thy most holy and immaculate conception. Truly, O Mary, thou hast destroyed every heresy in the whole world. From heaven, where thou now dost reign forever as queen, all the graces of our salvation, won by thy Son on the cross, flow to us through thy spotless hands. Thou alone art the boast of our sad race. The darkness of error will never be cast from this fallen world except through thy immaculate heart. The redemption of Christ comes to us through thee. All the grace of Christ comes to us through thee. O Mary, conceived without sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.